This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
We've got a couple of great special guests in to chat with us today about what they get up to. We have the CEO from Independent Arts, Lisa Galliani, and also the recently announced ambassador, Mike Christie, as well. So I'll give a little bit of a brief overview of what I know in terms of what you both do, and then we'll find a bit more about Independent Arts and what else you've got on offer and what else you do as well. So Lisa heads up the Independent Arts, which you get to find out a bit more about them as an organisation. If you haven't heard, they do some great stuff on the island. They have a little hub based in Newport, and they put on various awesome workshops to help various different sort of demographics across the island, which is a great thing. And Mike is also here as well. So yeah, he's the new ambassadorial role. But Mike's got great history in terms of his music. It'd be really, really good to hear his story soon. He's been part of the G4 group, wasn't it, that people might know from the expat stuff, but he's also done plenty of personal and solo stuff off the back of that. And he also sets up, your main kind of promoter for the White Proms event as well, which is held in Northwood. I'm sure most of you people have heard, if not been to the White Proms, so we get to find out a bit more about that as well. So first off, Lisa, in terms of those who don't necessarily know about Independent Arts and what it is you do, do you want to explain a little bit about
what
you're doing?
Sure. Yeah, we're an island-based charity. We were set up in 1987, so we're 35 years old, and we describe ourselves as an arts for well-being charity, which means that we use the arts in its broadest form, from singing, music, through to photography, sculpture, dance, visual arts, etc. And we use all of these activities and professional artists for each of those genres to provide workshops in the community, in care homes, in schools, and, as you've already mentioned, our new creative hub in Newport. And all the workshops are designed to make people feel better, happier, healthier.
That's great. I can actually speak from personal experience as well in terms of being part of one of your workshops. So my mum's a stroke survivor, and he run a course, a dance session course.
Dance Sense,
stroke survivors and those with Parkinson's. So we do that on a Monday. And to be honest, in terms of what it's done for my mum's just confidence and even her mobility stuff, it has been awesome for her. Basically, it's one of the highlights of our week, to be honest, going to the dance session.
Martin, thank
you. Dance session every Monday. So yeah, like I say,
I'll give you a fee later.
No, that's it. No, I really love what you guys do, and it's not just, like I say, it's not just dance. Obviously, you've got the singing, big part of it that we'll come to with Mike's involvement. But I know you do plenty of kind of workshops to help, like I say, vulnerable people, even isolated people from all
absolutely
groups and that. In terms of your experience and how this kind of changed lives, if you mentioned the singing as a sort of therapy. What is it about then, the singing classes or the singing in general?
Yeah,
that really
they're not really classes. I mean, we do call them workshops, but people come to our workshops usually like your mother, overcoming something. Might be a stroke, could be, a period of anxiety, depression. So many people find us actually through the social prescribing network, where doctors would actually suggest people perhaps feeling a little bit low to come along. And what we know, and we want to talk about singing in particular today, because that's what Mike's joining us to help promote, is singing actually isn't just a feel-good thing. When you sing in unison with other people, you're consciously breathing, you're standing or sitting a little bit straighter. The body's producing endorphins, which make you feel better. And it's that collective breathing and singing in harmony. And it's not a choir, there's no audition. It's just purely for the fun of it. Lots of us sing in the bath or sing in the shower. We think we sound great. We probably don't. But actually, when you do it all together, there is something really special about singing together.
Yeah, it does.
And making friends.
That's it. And does it help bring the kind of confidence? Because I imagine, it is quite daunting for some of us to sing, singing in your bath and then suddenly with a group of people.
Yeah. But we make it really comfortable and easy for people. And we've got some great singers who work with us, and volunteers who meet and greet people. So everyone, actually, when they come for the first time, they don't feel like a stranger for long. They make friends really quickly.
And are these workshops open for any?
They are, and they're fully funded, I'm pleased to say. So they are free. All of our workshops are designed to be free at the point of delivery. So we're really grateful to the Henry Smith Charitable Trust, who, in the case of Singabout, have funded us for the last 3 years. So people book. They come along, we run the sessions in 6 or 7 different venues around the island. Forgive me, I'm not going to name them because I know I'll leave one out. I know one is Freshwater, and I know we're in East Cowes as well as Cowes and Bembridge and, of course, Newport and Ryde. There I go. I think I've done it.
Yeah.
And they're all at different times. We do now actually produce a little handy What's On leaflet, which you can get from our website or pop into our creative hub, and it's tells you everything that's going on throughout the week.
And in terms of these singing workshops, is it a similar workshop that you do replicate around the island, or do you have different types?
We have 6 or 7 different sing about practitioners, so they all bring slightly their own personality to it. They've all worked as professional singers, so they all have their own personality and their own approach. But we do have a sort of set list, if you like. They'll choose different songs each week, and we have song sheets. There's no qualifying. It's not like joining a choir that you need to do an audition to join. Nothing like that at all. And the emphasis is on popular music. So it's music that makes people feel good, but also chosen because even a novice can actually, you know, there's some familiarity, and also they can, you know, they can get their tongues around the lyrics, etc., and enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a lot
of
fun.
So there are lots of firm favourites that tend to be sung a lot, and others that are introduced for a bit of breathing, stretching, and that sort of thing.
Oh, they do sound like a lot of fun and a great thing. And so, just before we get to you, Mike, I know you're waiting on there. I just want to speak a little bit about the Creative Hub then. So you've got that in Newport. So that's not that well.
It's just over a year. So the Creative Hub is in Newport. It's what used to be the Monsoon Shop, for listeners who may remember that. So we took it over, the tenancy for the shop. We gutted it, refurbished it, and now it's our home, our headquarters, and we run over 20 different workshops there every week. We're now open Monday to Saturday. We've staffed up so that we've always got somebody really welcoming and wonderful to meet and greet people. And we run a whole load of different things, from singing to junk modelling and crafting. And then this year we've also introduced a range of workshops aimed at young people to help improve mental health post-pandemic. And they're really popular as well.
And is that something you could just pop into to just find out more about them?
People can pop into the hub at any time. Our front of house team, our hub coordinators, we call them, they're all mental health first aiders, and many of them have lived experience of some of the issues that our participants experience. So they'll always be able to go through our programme and make suggestions on what might be suitable. Often we'll find people come in and actually they're asking on behalf of a friend or a relative to find out, would this be suitable for my mother or my father-in-law or my nephew or my son or whatever. And we're always happy to try and help out.
Yeah, and actually just going past it, it seems quite a vibrant little place. It looks like almost an art gallery going on.
The gallery is a really important part of what we do. So part of the space is the workshop. The other part is a gallery. A lot of what we do is also visual art. So the gallery gives us a chance to showcase what our participants have produced. And we go out of our way really to showcase things as beautifully and professionally as possible, because the art of performance and the art of showing what you do, not everyone like Mike can go on the X Factor and get that recognition. But actually, if you can make a piece of art and have it showcased in our gallery, it really does, you know, help everyone with feeling just a little bit happier. People come in and say, oh, is this a professional gallery, or I'm a professional artist, could I display my work here? And we say, well, thanks, but no thanks. There are lots of galleries on the island, but here we showcase the work that our participants have done.
That's a great message as well. That is really good. Okay, so yeah, let's come on to one of the big reasons sort of why you're here then, why you're both here today, is that, Mike, you've recently been appointed the Ambassador for Independent Arts. And, I mean, what does that involve? Let's have a little bit about your history, I guess. Mike, so you've done music, seems from quite a very young age, hasn't it?
Yes, I started very young. I was a chorister from the age of 8. And I did 5 years in that tenancy, as it were. And during that time, we had amazing opportunities. Obviously, we would sing at services. We would do 5 services a week. And it really taught me a discipline of how to turn up and do a job, be professional from that very early age. And we did film, soundtrack work. We appeared in the movie 4 Weddings and a Funeral, which is probably the most famous one we did. We did so many different ones. And that was an amazing, I think that really set me up for life, just in terms of being professional and just getting on with the job. And then my voice broke and I didn't really want to have anything to do with singing for a while. But unfortunately, fortunately really, I just love singing too much that I naturally came back to it. And I'll try and cut this short because I could obviously give you a very lengthy history. But I ended up going to music college in London, studied at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama. And there I met 3 guys and we ended up and we entered for the very first series of The X Factor, which was 2004, 18 years ago, staggeringly. And we were runners up. We got through every round. We came runners up and we were signed. We sold something like 2 million albums in the UK in the first few months, and it was just crazy. It just went absolutely crazy. And we're still together today. We have 67 tour dates in theatres and cathedrals around the UK, because I should explain, with the cathedrals, we do a Christmas tour, which is really going back to our roots, really, of classical music, because I trained as an opera singer. And we do sort of what we call classical crossover, which is actually a genre we kind of almost created when we're on The X Factor without even realising, that's now become very popular. And then I now live in Cowes. So I'm not originally from here. I'm from the North Island, but I've been here about 12 years, totally fell in love with the island, and I live in Cowes now. And I think for me, coming to the island was a real sanctuary for me, because my life was so pressured on the mainland and I was in the public eye, and I just thought, I don't really want to do anything down here because I can just sort of relax and rest and be away from everything. But actually, as I've lived here, there's so much to offer here and there's so many incredible venues to perform at. I just couldn't resist, but I've got stuck in now, and ended up creating the White Proms Festival, which takes place at Northwood House in Cowes every August, every summer. And this year it's our 5th anniversary, because we set it up in 2018. And so we're going for a whole week, and we've got, goodness me, we've got Horrible Histories for kids, but also for adults. I have to say, I love Horrible Histories if you watch it on TV. The Wednesday, we've actually got RuPaul Drag Race stars, and I don't believe any of them have actually performed on the island yet. Thursday night is a night at the opera. Friday is comedy night, and we've got Julie and Clary headlining that. Saturday is musical theatre, so all the hits from West End and Broadway. And then Sunday I will be headlining with my band G4. It's our debut on the island, and we've got a 50-piece orchestra, and it will be the Proms. So it's singing Jerusalem and all the pomp and circumstance, flag waving. So that's going to be a very exciting prospect coming up. And really, that's why I'm here today, in a way, because that's when my relationship started with independent arts. And when I set up the festival, I should add that actually the festival is something that I founded and I organise it single-handedly. Apart from the week when we're actually on site, when I have a whole team of people helping me, it's very much my passion and I want to do something different for the island. And we've got this incredible history on the island of festivals, but there isn't something that offers the things that we can offer, the genres.
Kind of niche,
And so when I set it up, I thought, I really want to have an associated charity. And so I did my research on the island and saw what was there. And actually, I came across Independent Arts and immediately I just thought, it's a no-brainer. There's just such an obvious connection there. And, being a singer, I'm obviously very biased with the arts. But I've taught singing. I've done masterclasses for people. I've done vocal coaching. And I've witnessed firsthand how music, how the arts totally transforms people's lives and the confidence that it gives people. And, you know, for most people, they're not going into a career in music. It's just a hobby of theirs. And seeing that, it's so incredibly moving, and it really makes me tick. And I really, you know, want to do as much of that as I can. And so when I discovered independent arts, where we were just literally, excuse the pun, singing from the same hymn sheet, I just felt that's perfect. And so we already started our connection back then in 2018. And the relationship has really sort of grown since then, and we've ended up doing more concerts. So for example, with the White Proms this year, I introduced a monthly concert called White Proms Wednesdays. And so at 12:30, one Wednesday a month, you can come to the ballroom at Northwood House, and it's a 40-minute concert, and we've had singers, we've had a harpist last month, or a pianist, and then you can also stay for lunch afterwards. So again, that's something where the independent arts come along. And with any of the tickets you buy for the White Proms, be it at the festival or the White Proms Wednesdays, you can donate to independent arts, and they very much have a presence when they're there at the festival and all the concerts. And it's just a natural... It's just been a natural relationship, I think, that's grown. And then Lisa asked me if I would consider being an ambassador, and I was very honoured to accept. And I will obviously strive to do as much as I can to spread the word. And I think, for me, I'm such a believer in collaboration. And I think, particularly on the island, we've all got to come together and celebrate the music that we create and the arts that we create, because there's so much talent here. Rather than seeing it as competition, like one festival is a competition to another festival. And that's the same for me with other singers. I like to duet with them and perform with them and record with them, rather than saying, well, no, because, it's competition. I think that's really, really important. And so collaborating is sort of in my DNA almost. It's just such a natural thing to me. And I'm just keen to spread the word about as many things as possible, and I will spread the word about festivals and about this. There's wonderful in West White Arts, do a wonderful concert series there as well, which is every month, and I tell people all about that. I'm not involved in it, but I love to celebrate what we've got on the island. I think it's really important that we shout about it. And for me, I hadn't heard of independent arts before I did my research in 2018, and I very much see my role as ambassador to help spread the word. Because whilst, as you say, Martin, you've had first-hand experience with your mother, which is amazing, but there are still many people that don't know about the charity on the island. I think it's really important that we get the word out there and that people come along. And in fact, I sat in a workshop a few months ago, and it's just incredible to see the joy in people's faces as they're joining in with the songs. And there's no pressure. It's so relaxed. No one's singled out to sing a solo or anything like that. They just really enjoy it, and I joined in as well with the singing, and it was really nice. And in fact, I think afterwards there was a bit of a spontaneous performance, wasn't
yes,
there?
Yes.
And they were asking if I would sing, and I said, okay, then if I must.
But I just love the atmosphere. Yeah, we produced a piano, didn't we?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. It's amazing.
You know, if only I had a piano, and yeah, Ralph went out the back and, found a piano, and that was it. Yeah, no, it's... People say to me, it's... and about the hub, and it's like coming home, and it's like joining a family. And some of us have... perhaps difficult family relationships. So to actually find a family within independent arts and at the Hub or at any other the other venues that we deliver from is really heartwarming. So that was a brilliant day when we got you to come down to the Hub and see what we were doing.
And I would just urge people, I would say, just go and visit the Hub. Just go and see what they're about and speak to them. Everyone that works there is so lovely, so welcoming. And as you say, you feel like you've landed home when you walk in. It's such a lovely atmosphere. And just go and have a nose, go and have a look at the artwork and speak to them. You know, don't feel shy about going in. It's just such a lovely space. And it's important that people know about it and utilise it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's an incredible backstory. And I can tell you, even your passion of just your involvement in terms of, introducing the arts and singing and to the island.
This is
as well.
It. Well, I mean, it's the fact that you had to research us and find it. I've been involved with the charity for just under 3 years now. And when I was being interviewed for this exciting role, I just got more and more excited. And it really is like a hidden gem on the island. You know, we all think the island is amazing. And here's this little charity that was only ever set up to be an island-based charity. That's in our, you know, it's in our governing document. We're there to use the arts. We were set up by an artist herself in 1987, Carol Martis. And we were there to enable artists, professional artists, to give back to the community. And it's amazing that we're still doing it.
Yeah, no, like I say, I'm a really big fan of what you guys, and even throughout lockdown as well, I know you guys produced YouTube videos.
We went all YouTube-y and Zoom-y. Art boxes in schools, and we had a lovely thing going between schools and care homes where the children who of key workers who did go to school were able to produce work from creative art boxes that we sent them, and then they, through us, they would then get delivered to care homes who we also work with. A lot of our work, see, when I took over, one of the problems I'd identified is that everything that Independent Arts was doing was sort of kind of a bit hidden in care homes or in village halls, but by having the hub and by speaking about it more and by having ambassadors like Mike, hopefully lots of people who need us will actually come and find us.
Yeah, I think that's a really great message as well. So yes, so that's really kind of comprehensive, Guy. Really, thanks for that. And not only that, you've also recently released a song for the Jubilee, haven't you, Mike?
The Jubilee weekend, which was absolutely fabulous. I ended up being booked to perform at various places on the island, which was amazing. But a couple of weeks before that, I was looking through my set list thinking, you know, what could I perform, what would be appropriate? And actually, I realised there isn't a Jubilee song. There isn't anything out there. So I thought, well, for goodness sake, sit down and write one. And so I did, and then it was about a week before that I had one ready to go, and I thought, oh, I need a music video, I need to get on with this. So I contacted the person I know at Fort Redoubt in Freshwater, which is the most stunning fort, and in fact, if you go onto YouTube and search the Heartbeat of Our Nation, you can find the song there, and it's just such a beautiful setting. It seemed very apt for the Queen's Jubilee, with the history of the war being a fort as well, and obviously it really celebrates the Isle of Wight because it just looks stunning, and it's amazing the way the clouds reflect in the top of my piano. It's you know, it's a piece of art, really. I love it.
Like you're welling up as well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting quite emotional about it. But so I wrote this song, and it's funny because you have these ideas. You think, oh, I write a song for the Jubilee, and then you sit down and you think, well, actually, what do I write about? Like lyrics, how do you write about the Queen? You know, what are you going to say? I love you, Queen. It's just, you know, it's not appropriate. But it's
weird.
Amazing. Yeah, exactly. And but somehow it comes together. And I'm really pleased with the end result. And it's been amazing. And on YouTube, it's something like 27,000 views. And I've had so many lovely messages from people that I haven't spoken to since before COVID. And they've just said, oh, I've just seen your video and been singing along, which is really lovely. And the most important thing, really, to say is that all the proceeds from the sales and streams of it this month go to Independent Arts. So if people head to, you can stream it on Spotify, you can buy it on Amazon Music or on iTunes, literally all of the music online platforms you can buy or stream it, and any money from that will go to Independent Arts.
That is great stuff.
Yeah, we're really grateful.
And not only that, we'll get to play it in literally a few seconds time, but I just wanted to kind of wrap things up with you guys, and just, yes, obviously you mentioned you covered off the White Proms stuff, so that's happening in August, isn't it? And again, you can get sort of tickets and information online for that are probably best. And in terms of then the other workshops and what you guys offer at the Hub, either visit the Hub or...
Either visit the Hub or look online, independentarts.org.uk. We are going to be having a new website soon, but even our existing website, you'll be able to find out how to get in touch and how to find out what's going on.
Brilliant. And also, very exciting, watch this space. They're about to celebrate their 35th anniversary. And so there's all these exciting things planned.
Balloons, bouncy castles.
Lots of planning.
Cake, jelly. Yeah, there you go. How exclusive. Okay, well, it's been wonderful to talk to you guys. Thank you very much for coming in.
Yes,
I've been speaking to Lisa Galliani, the CEO from Independent Arts, and Mike Christie as well, has been recently appointed the ambassador for Independent Arts as well. So unless you've got anything else that you want to add before...
No, that's great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And yes, so as we mentioned, this is Mike's track for the Jubilee, The Heartbeat of Our Nation.
How to measure one's lifetime, the staple through all our lives, head of the Commonwealth, We toast to her good health, longest living and reigning British monarch, longest serving female head of state. The heartbeat of our nation, her service and dedication, devoting one's life to her station. There's platinum jubilee celebration, 70 years to reign, ruling over her domain. A lifelong devotee, dignity a guarantee, where their empire to oversee, most deserved VIP. The heartbeat of a nation,
Radio FM 104.6, for the people, by the people.